Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Most of the goals, every goal, there was a lost battle. You're not going to win games. You lose the net front battle for goals. You lost below the goal line battles. Almost, 90% of their opportunities were on the hands of us not winning a battle.
Well, I've lost plenty of those, so I'm not about to throw stones in a glass house here. Welcome in to Sabres Live. I feel like we were just together. I feel like we're going to be together again in very, very, very short order. So yeah. Let's start, Marty, on what you've really been up to as the quarterback of Plowmaster 43. Now, if Plowmaster 43 was responsible for cleaning all three zones of the ice, where would you start?
I'd start in the defensive zone. I start in, defending, right? Lindy Ruff is obviously frustrated with the way the game went yesterday. You gave up 6 again to the Seattle Kraken. Yep. You gave up 6 to them at home a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So you're like, that can't happen. You start the Western Canada trip in Seattle, not a Canadian city, but close enough. And you lose battles. And it's easy to point out, they lost a battle on the first goal of the game when John Hayden got a rebound. They lost a battle on Chandler Stephenson. But I think what Lindy Ruff is also pointing out is that right before, so Jack Quinn scores. 27 seconds later, John Hayden scores. What happened is you have a 3-on-2. And I'm not talking 3 Seattle player and 2 Sabres player below the goal line. You're talking 3 Sabres player to 2 Seattle player below the goal line. And Seattle won the puck, got it to the point, shot on net, block, rebound, it's in the net. So, yeah, there was a lost battle in front of the net, but there was a massive battle below the goal line that was lost right there. And so Lindy, as a coach, is saying, we have to defend, but it's not systems. It's not like, where are you positioned? Is when you're in the battle, win the battle. Win your battle. And if you don't win a one-on-one battle and we have a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-2, win that battle. And the Sabres lost too many of those. And his words after the game yesterday, Lindy Ruff's saying, I'm going to look at my sheet here. He said, we lost battle. And somebody says, why are you guys losing so many battles? He said, physical strength, where we get out muscle and conditioning. If I'm a player and I'm hearing this, I'm like, this is not good, right? Like your coach is looking at it and saying you're getting out muscled by physical, simple physical strength and conditioning. I'm a player. I'm looking around. And I'm like, this cannot happen again. It just can't.
When you heard that, and now that you're, talking about it today, and knowing what you know about, at minimum, a certain physical level that these specific hockey player athletes are at, how great do you honestly believe the physical strength difference to be from one player, one team to the next, and or how much of what Lindy may have been talking about last night, physical strength and conditioning, is actually related to the will, the mental side of it. Because, Marty, I didn't live at the highest athletic level to know.
But you're on the right path.
The ins and outs of training and stuff.
I love it.
I'm wondering how much will can overcome this kind of stuff. Because you can imagine, like, I feel unprepared to talk about everything NHL today, because I've been trying to look inside of some of these numbers with the Sabres and trying to think, okay, well, if this player was with this player more often, maybe it would help. If this pair was the more go-to pair in certain situations. And I feel like a lot of that is kind of getting, rightfully so, pushed aside based on exactly the topic you're on here. And if your head is in the right place, whether that negates a lot of this conversation.
So because you did a Plowmaster 43 introduction, I'm going to use it in that way. Like, doesn't matter if I have the V10 full, like, you know, whatever. Like, I've got the strongest truck, the best plow, whatever, and it's a diesel, and I go and put regular gas in it. Well, you know what? I'm not going to be able to move a lot of snow. Or, you know, I'm tired and I, you know, kind of mess up or whatever. Like, doesn't matter. Like, Casey Mittelstadt, and we joked about Casey Mittelstadt at the draft and he didn't do a pull-up or whatever. There's some players that are not as strong physically than others. But, you know, and we just did the quarter century team and I look at Danny Briere or Pominville or Derek Roy or some of those guys that are smaller, much smaller. But man, did they have the will and the desire to never lose a battle or never lose a fight, right? That's the difference. I think there's very, very small difference between the strongest guys in the league and the not so strong guys in the league. You can all do push-ups and bench press and squat and you all have the same strength. But, you know, Eric Bolton used to joke around and he used to always say, throw a puck in the corner. Let's see who comes out with it, right? Like, Bolts didn't have the skill set, but he knew that, you know, if I get in the corner with anybody in the league, I'm going to come out with the puck, or at least the will was there. That's an issue. That is a big problem. And it's not just a Sabres problem. It's a problem around the NHL when you look at goals and teams get unmuscled or, you know, get outplayed. And often it's about just wanting it more than the other guy. It's not, oh, you know what, Duffer? You could do 225 pounds on the bench press 20 times, and I can only do it twice. Well, if my will is above yours, I'm going to win the battle. I'm going to find a way. I'm going to win the battle. And I think that is one thing when Lindy talks about sheer strength and conditioning, is that going back to the old John Tortorella, you know, rant that he had with us in New York, you can mentally will yourself to be energized and to be strong and to be in good shape. You know, yeah, you can do things physically, but mentally you can do it. And I think that's a very, very good point you bring up. It's not that guys aren't strong enough. It's not that guys don't work out. It's just go out there and dog on a bone. You're never going to let that puck go.
Correct. Or interesting for sure. Yet, how hard is it to cleanse the mind to play free and strong-willed when you find yourself in the middle of a situation that you didn't expect or want to find yourself in again, which is where they are in the standings just past the midway point of the season?
Well, you're a pro, and you got to play. I had a terrible year with the New York Islanders. And at times in that season, it was challenging to even get up and go to practice and go to games. And I wasn't playing, or if I was playing, I wasn't playing well. And at one point I gotta put my best out there. I gotta continue playing. Some guys have long-term deals. Sometimes some guys don't. Some guys have to sign contracts. Some guys have to fight for a roster spot. Like, go out there and prove it. Find the inner strength and the motivation to be able to do it. And look, that was always the thing. Like, Lindy Ruff used to come into the locker room and look around and guys are sweating and, you know, they're sore after a game or whatnot, everybody's going to work hard. But are you willing to go the extra above and beyond? Don't be denied, right? And that's, so his comments yesterday were just that. We self-inflicted, throughout this game, and don't take away from Seattle and Seattle's ability to score and produce, but the Seattle Kraken did not have more grade A chances than Buffalo in the game. They didn't have more glorious looks. They just worked harder to find those looks and to win the battles. That was the basic line. And now you play Vancouver tonight, and look, I just watched Vancouver beat the Oilers, and there was all the cross-checking and suspension after, and Connor Garland on top of McDavid or whatever. You think the Vancouver Canucks are not going to battle? No, Vancouver is going to battle hard. They're outside of the playoffs right now. So you got to have that mindset that you're going to win the battles and find a way.
So the coach said it last night. Then how does it carry over to today? How does the message get reinforced? Who carries the flag on this particular topic to will more teammates into the battle? I think you may have noticed last night in our post-game show that I kind of caught myself in mid-ramble/question to you that I felt like all of a sudden I was realizing that I had been putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah.
Because I went down the path of some players who have had challenging stretches offensively.
Yep.
But then the more I talked about it, the more I thought, okay, there is one larger issue here, obviously, as the team has now dropped to 30th in goals against. Mm-hmm. And this is not a goaltender. It's not three goaltenders. It's not two defensemen. It's clearly a team concept change the course of where you're at, right? Defensively. We talked about this in the offseason. The offseason was of change. And offensively, the Sabres are basically the same as last year. Basically the same. Their ranking has gone up, surprisingly, but they scored 2.98 goals last year. They're at 3.04. That's almost immeasurable. However, they're giving up almost half a goal per game more than what they did last year.
Yes.
They were tied for 11th at the end of last season in goals against. They are now 30th in that regard. That's really hard to, you know, as much as we like to say, outscore your problems, that's hard to do. It's hard to do.
They scored 20 goals in the last six games, Duffer. They had
which is basically their average for the season. Yeah.
No, they had four-goal games, sorry, right, because last night was a four-goal game.
But they've given up four more against.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Like, you have a stretch of six games where four of them you scored four or more goals. Mm-hmm. That should be four wins.
Yep.
You should, at the very least, be 4-2 in the six games. And maybe you're 4-1-1 mm-hmm. because the other two games, you scored 2-2. One, you were up 2-0 to Seattle. And Pittsburgh, well, you know, I mean, okay.
Scored first again.
So,
yeah.
But you're 3-3. And you scored four goals or more in four of them. Why? Mm-hmm. Because you've given up way too much. And look, I know you're going to say, well, goaltending has to be better. That's one. Like, if I'm a goalie, doesn't matter. At the end of the night, if you give up 4-4, 3-4, 5-4, 5-6, you have to be better. The team defense has to be better, but it comes down to one thing again. It comes down to winning battles. Because when you don't win battles, you cannot defend. Teams are going to take advantage of it and win battles, and you'll defend.
So I'll go back to the question before the ramble. Who carries that torch, the flag, whatever you want to call it? Who carries that message in the room among the players now that the coach said what he said last night?
Well, it has to be the leadership group. It has to be Darlene. It has to be Thompson. It has to be Tuck. It has to be a Zucker, a guy like that has been around that understands the game. That's what it has to be. You have to, and not everybody is comfortable in that situation. I've played with guys that were in the leadership group that wouldn't say anything. But you know what? Those that don't say anything would definitely show it on the ice in their action. Mm-hmm. They'd go out the very first shift and it would be like, oh, yeah, look, he's in the battle. We're going to win the battle. And that may be the first shift of the game. Or that may be, you know what, the first shift after you take a 1-0 lead. Or, you know what, that could be the first shift after you score a 6-on-5 goal. And, you know, there's a lot of first shifts yesterday that, you know, you make it 3-3. How about that first shift after late in the second period, not to give up the 4-3 goal to Oleksiak? Mm-hmm. Like, that is, to me, where the players have to step up. Because Lindy Ruff yesterday, it's 1-0. He's like, you know what? I'm going to put my Lafferty, Malenstein, Obi Kubel line out because that's a hard-working line. We're not going to lose battles. Well, they lose battles. It's 1-1. So then later in the period, he says, well, I'm going to put, you know, the Thompson line out there. Well, Thompson is not Thompson. It's Kulik, Thompson, and Zucker. And then the next line that jumps on the ice is Dylan Cousins' line. And, well, there's a goal 56 seconds later. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, he's tried a few different things. It's the players that have to say, I'm not going to let it happen. I am not going to let it happen.
27 seconds, 56 seconds, 17 seconds were the gaps in response goals by Seattle last night against Buffalo. One was to make it 1-1, as you say, another one 4-3, and the other one 6-4 to wash out any chance at the end of getting the game back to even.
And I know you say the Sabres are 30th in goals against right now, and obviously that's...
I think I misspoke. I think they're 29th. They're 30th in save percentage, so... But either way, they're 29th, 30th. Ironically, I say this because it might surprise some, but they're tied in save percentage with Vancouver, who they're up against tonight. Their save percentages are both .883, which is a long ways from where either would have expected it to be.
So the expected goals, when you look at Sports Logic, the Sabres are 21st. So
Against?
Against. So they're at even strength. At 5-on-5, they're 21st. So you're looking at it. Here's another issue, though, is that they're 27th in goals save above expectation. So they give up more than they should, right? So 27, the only teams that are getting worse goaltending than the Sabres in that sense are Philadelphia. They have 10 goals above expectation. Seattle, Vancouver, Pittsburgh, Chicago. And we all know those teams have had some issues, like Pittsburgh, Tristan Jarry on waivers. Vancouver didn't have Thatcher Demko, and when he came back, it wasn't great. Seattle with Philip Grubauer, it's atrocious. With Joey Decord, it's been good. Philly has been a Rolodex of Kolesov, Fedotov, Sam Ersson. What's happening? And Chicago's Chicago. So you're with those teams in the way that you've given up more than you should. So, yeah, put it on Lucan and Levi and Reimer and saying, you got to be better. Got to be better. You got to help your team out.
True, but I didn't think you were going to pinpoint it on them.
It's not on them, but the numbers will say they're a part of the problem and should be part of the solution as well.
It's interesting because, again, you know, I think based on where they've been the last, whatever, 4 games losing 3 of 4, 9 games losing 6 of 9, and the way it unfolded and the comments about battle and stuff like that, like, I'm mildly fixated on still, like, who should be with whom on the blue line, right?
Yeah.
And so obviously we've seen Byram and Dahlin together for a long time, and their overall numbers are good. Like, they've scored 19 goals when out there together. They've only given up 11 at 5-on. You're going to sign up for that every single day. You know what save percentage they're getting when they're on the ice? .934. .934.
That's great.
But when Power and Dahlin are together, the save percentage is .827.
Mm-hmm.
And when Dahlin and Samuelson are on the ice, the save percentage is .727.
Yeah.
What? Now, I get it. Those are much smaller on-ice sample sizes than what we're seeing with Dahlin and Byram. But the point is when you start digging and digging and digging, like, sometimes you feel like you can't stop because you can't get to a rational place to actually answer all of this. Like, last night going into the matchup, Buffalo is so much better than Seattle at 5-on-5. Yeah. And most of the teams they've been up against lately, they have better numbers at 5-on-5 over the entirety of the season. It's I don't have the definitive answer as to, you know, what keeps undoing them here and what causes any of their goaltenders to have a worse save percentage in certain situations when certain people are on the ice.
So it's interesting you say that, because you look at, like, you probably talk about Dahlin and Samuelson, right? Like, and the fact that, well, when to get her on the ice this year at, you know, at 5-on-5, they're 0 goals for, 3 against. Mm. So, but you look at, you know, they're scoring chances for versus yes. against, 20 scoring chances for, 10 against.
Yes.
So you're like, okay, well, are they giving up more chances when they're together? No, they've just been not getting the saves when they're together on the ice. And then the numbers, sometimes it's easy to paint the picture. Sometimes it's painting by numbers. You just paint him, you fill him in, and you get this beautiful
painting
picture.
By numbers is supposed to be easy. I think it's the opposite, you know, of what? This.
Sometimes when somebody decides to mess up and put different numbers everywhere and you start painting the numbers, you're like, what the hell am I painting here? That's what this is.
That's how artists got rich. Once they realized they didn't care what they were painting, and allowed everything to be open for interpretation, people's minds went,
okay, and then, so you're saying this is beautiful? I don't see it, but whatever.
There's beauty in everything. That's
well,
the
right
point.
Now, the painting by the numbers is like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense, but it comes down to the same thing. It comes down to just doing a little bit more. Like, I'll use a perfect example yesterday. Tough goal, right? Tough goal. It is the 5-3 goal. The Adam Larson goal, it goes off of Tage Thompson and goes between the legs of Devon Levi.
Yep.
If you look at the play, Tage Thompson is the left winger on the play. When the puck is behind the net, Tage decides to protect the middle of the ice a little bit longer, but is that his responsibility? Now, somebody will say, well, Tage is doing the right thing because he's staying in front of his goalie a little bit longer. But if Tage's responsibility is to just be out on his point man a little bit quicker, maybe he blocks that shot. Is he trying to do the right things? Yes, protecting the middle of the ice. But because he went and protected the middle of the ice, he's late on blocking the Larson shot or maybe taking that pass away. So does it make sense that while you're trying to do the right thing, you're actually doing the wrong thing and the puck hits you and goes in? No, you're trying to do the right thing, but it was not the right thing in that moment, and the puck ends up in your net.
Without seeing the previous 5 seconds on that clip, would Thompson not have been more on the other side typically? Because that was left wing, he's right wing.
No, he was assuming the left wing position on that
because
one. Because of the way they return into the zone, right?
Right. So, and again, it ties in because obviously in the clip you could see where Jiří was, and Jiří Kulik came in last night after missing the previous four and immediately jumped into number one center position. And prior to that, we had been seeing Cousins and Thompson playing together. And we, of course, heard Lindy talk about earlier in the year, almost specifically to Cousins and Thompson, about figuring it out in the defensive zone, right? Yeah. And then, obviously, Thompson's lack of full health played a reason in him moving to the wing, but clearly... I shouldn't say clearly, but maybe one can reasonably assume that Cousins wasn't number one center last night because what? He needs to not be in number one line minutes right now? Like, I don't know.
Because
I don't know what the
answer
is.
Lindy Ruff is struggling to have confidence in saying that Cousins is going to give you a strong defensive game. He's had Dylan Cousins on the ice 6-on-5 at the end of the game defensively, right? When you're 5-on-6 and other situations, and it hasn't really worked. So now he's looking at, okay, well, I'm going to put Dylan Cousins in a different scenario, in a different responsibility with being the second line center and not have him in those situations. And look, Jiří Kulik had a good game yesterday. He had 8 shot attempts. He had 6 shots on goal. He had the better looks for the Sabres in the game, just didn't find the back of the net. And give Jiří Kulik that same game tonight and Thursday in Calgary and Saturday in Edmonton, I think he scores a goal in every game. most likely the numbers will go on his in his favor that he had a good game. So that's fine. That top line was fine. It just, again, that goal by Adam Larson is just a microcosm of you're trying to do the right thing, but you're overthinking it, and the puck ends up in the back of your net.
Obviously, from Yuri's standpoint, jumping back in, trying to, you know, add to his first-year totals in the NHL, I think everybody looked at those chances last night and sees him, A, in the right spot, B, without hesitation for the most part, and shooting the puck, which is great. Mm-hmm. And the problem is patience is not a word anybody wants to use at this moment based on the need for 2 points every night. But I think it's easy to see where the hope with Yuri is that with more and more and more reps, his shooting percentage, which currently stands at 10%, gets in between or at the level it was in the American League. And when he had back-to-back years leading the Amerks in goals, he was at 15.4%.
Yeah, I was going to say 15 to 20.
And 15.2, which historically, with the better scores in the game, which were not pushing Yuri into that category yet, but shooters find their way. Then sometimes you have those incredible 22 to 26% seasons where you can't miss. But typically good goal scorers regress or stay at a level that is like in the 13 to 16 range. So Yuri is not far off. This is a long way of saying Yuri is not far off.
Yep.
But the urgency from everyone, himself included, is I have to score now. So
yeah, and Lindyrov said the one thing he noticed out of Yuri was maybe the quickness and the speed wasn't there. Look, he missed four games, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had an injury, but something small enough to keep him off. But so maybe now the speed can continue to ramp up, but he was open, getting himself open in the right areas with the good looks. Seven shot attempts from the slot out of his eight. Like, it wasn't perimeter Yuri Kulik. It was inside Yuri Kulik, which was exactly what you want to see.
Right. It is Sabres and Canucks tonight. The matchup will not feature Tyler Myers. He's out for three. We'll talk about that moving forward. Does this interrupt like the pregame ceremony for him being acknowledged on the quarter century team?
No, because now he can join us on Zoom from the press box. So we were going to have a headset on at ice level, but now we can have him on Zoom.
The one thing you always saw from Tyler was when he
we're
gets
not getting
when,
Tyler Myers on Zoom tonight, when, people. If you expect
when,
it,
when he gets a little mad, it's like, oh boy. And there was a lot of hostility at the end of that Vancouver-Edmonton game the other night. Obviously, McDavid won't play against the Sabres later this week. He is suspended for three games along with Myers. So those stories for down the road, lots around the NHL, more stories of Plowmaster 43, and a look ahead to home game on February 2nd. This one is geared towards our youth, future all-stars, if you will. It's Youth Hockey Day. It's Sunday, February 2nd. The Devils are in. First 5,000 kids in attendance. Take home a Sabres water bottle. Visit sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. Back after this on Sabres Live.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast.
With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres Canucks tonight. Tyson Kozak recalled from Rochester and Devin Levi assigned to Rochester. The latest news from Buffalo's standpoint. So with an expected or possible morning skate, which will happen in the afternoon, our time, of course, in Vancouver, what would you anticipate that looking like as far as goaltender for tonight against Vancouver?
Well, so Luukkonen did not dress last night, but was on the ice the day before. Mm-hmm. And yesterday was an afternoon game. So I'm saying if Luukkonen is on the ice for the morning skate today at 2:30 our time, as you pointed out, 11:30 out west in Vancouver, then I say he can play. He could play, and maybe that was the, let's give him an afternoon off. Let's get him the, you know, completely rest up or whatnot. And Lindy Ruff said nagging ailments. Then he plays. But I don't see why you wouldn't have confidence in James Reimer to even maybe, you know, have played last night, unless you thought, hey, we're going to give Luukkonen the first two games off, right? We're not going to have him play in Seattle and in Vancouver. So we'll call Levi up to play the first one in Seattle, and Reimer will play in Vancouver. Because Reimer's been fine. Reimer's been okay. Reimer's been good.
Yeah, he gets so, almost the lowest run support in the league. So
exactly. So I'm like, so unless you had it in your mind to not play Luukkonen at all, then I get the call up of Levi, and then you play Reimer the other one. But if you were going to potentially play Luukkonen in one of those two, I don't know why you wouldn't play James Reimer, right? So I would anticipate Reimer to go because I think the plan was probably, okay, let's give Luukkonen a little bit more time. So that's kind of like where my process goes.
Sabres, of course, playing without Ryan McLeod right now. And, you know, that wasn't the reason Kozak came up. Kozak came up because Jiří wasn't in the lineup. And obviously, you know, they've been kind of mixing and matching a little bit. But so now Kozak not on the roster. He's assigned to Rochester. The Amherst don't play until Friday, Saturday. They're up against Providence and Hartford, both games on the road. And they just came off a 3-3. And, you know, we'll see where that takes them this weekend. Obviously, Hauser and Sandstrom are the current tandem, although now technically Levi could join that trio.
Yeah, he could join them.
If in fact, yeah, I mean, who knows how it's all going to play out.
Look,
here.
There's these transactions that happen in the National Hockey League where you make, you know, these paper transactions, you're playing it day by day, you're adjusting. Like, I would fully anticipate Tyson Kozak to play for the Sabres tonight.
Really?
Like, and say he's going to go in. If there's a reason why they're doing the transaction is, well, you know what? They're going to play him. And you do look at what Lindy Ruff mentioned, you know, the first John Hayden goal, the 1-1 goal yesterday, Seattle scores. It's Malenstein, Lafferty, Obi Kubel on the ice. So I think Kozak goes back in and probably Obi Kubel comes out. You know, it's probably the easy, changes that you make with your forward group.
As part of what we were talking about in the first half, and not to belabor it, but physical strength, battle, conditioning, and then we tied that in with the will, the mental will. How compromised is that aspect of it when you are basically a league leader in scoring first but not getting the results, because I'm very, like, concerned is the wrong word. We're trying to have a conversation about this, but it feels like it wouldn't matter if it's 1-2 or 3-0. Some of the battle issues or goals against, like last night, or response, like, they could still happen. And I get it. They are going to happen. That's the nature of the game nowadays. But I'm wondering what you think as far as, does this record of 13, 11, and 5, which is to say 13 wins, 16 losses when scoring first, does that, in fact, stay stuck somewhere in a place you don't need it to be stuck in
your
brain?
Well, I'm sure that is a conversation of, how do we get better? Well, we have to defend better when we take a 1-0 lead, or we have to score the second goal. But right now, I think we have to focus on the defending better after taking a 1-0 lead. And the difference right now, so you talk about the Sabres being 13 and 16 when scoring first. They have scored first 29 times, okay? If they had a league average of a 652 winning percentage, 652 winning percentage would be, you'd be, what, 29 times, 18 and 11.
Yes.
Or 17 and 12 or whatever.
You'd be right where you expected to be.
You'd be in the mix right now. If you look at the standings, you'd say, hey, we're 2 points out of a playoff spot, or we're in a playoff spot, because that would be the
some of your points would have come at the expense of some of those teams ahead of you. That's usually how it plays out.
But if that was a 10-point difference, you'd be 3 points out of Boston with games in hand. Like, that's the difference right there.
Right.
And I'm not talking being excelling at scoring first and winning. I'm talking league average. You'd be the 16th or 17th team in points percentage when scoring first. Mm-hmm. You'd be just outside looking in by a couple of points. That's, and I think it's in your head, but it comes down to the same thing again. You know, I had a great conversation about analytics to some of the, you know, people in the Sabres analytics department. And when we had Sam Ventura on a couple of years ago, maybe, he talked about analytics is simple. The goal of the game is to score goals. How do you score goals? Yeah. You get more scoring chances. How do you get scoring chances? You break it down. Right? Well, the same thing on the other side of things. How do you win more games when you score first? You defend better. You defend better, and that's when it comes down to.
They're up against a Vancouver team that has had problems in that regard as well, coming off an emotionally charged win against Edmonton. What do you make of the matchup tonight when you consider that when these two teams met back on Black Friday, it was a comeback game for Buffalo? They ended up losing in overtime.
Yep.
And I put an emphasis on that word comeback because, yes, it was incredibly frustrating that they didn't get the victory, especially on the heels of the loss the night before Thanksgiving, which was 1-0 to Minnesota, a game they also felt like they could have won. So there's that window in time where we go back to and say, what if? But part of it, the reason it's of importance here for me, I was talking with producer Jeff before we even got started last night. And one area that the Sabres have had difficulty with this year is comebacks.
Yep.
They've not been able to kind of scale the mountain. Sometimes they chip away. Sometimes they get it even. They haven't been able to get over the top. They only have 4 comeback wins this year, which is lowest in the NHL. And then yesterday it was like, good. Second period, boom, boom, 3-3. Like, this is exactly what you need to see. Not every game's going to be perfect. Take this moment and run. Boom, goal in less than a minute. And you know what I mean? So we've seen the comeback ability against Vancouver this year. How do they get over that portion of this against
Vancouver, it's a team that is fighting. They're fighting a lot of different things. They're fighting trade rumors. They're fighting standings and being outside of the playoffs right now. They're fighting. And their pushback against the Edmonton Oilers on Saturday, was for me a team that's fighting, a team that wants to show that you know what? We're going to be better. I want to warn everybody tonight, though, is that when you look at the stats sheet and you see that the Vancouver Canucks will have way more hits than the Sabres, it is not because they're actually hitting more. It's just because we have that same situation as the New York Islanders of the previous 10, 15 years, where they would give Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck and Casey Cizikas all these hits. Kiefer Sherwood leads the league in hits. It's not even close.
Is hang on, don't tell me. I want to say it's between 300 and 400 already.
It's 265.
Okay.
So it's not 300 and 400.
He's on pace for like close to 400, yeah.
But which is absurd. Closest to him is 90 hits away. He's 265. Matt Kastelic of Boston is second at 175. Come on. Like, you're telling me there's one player in the NHL that hits 40% or 33% more than everybody else? Like, that's a big number.
Well, regardless of how you define it, I will say that Kiefer Sherwood has had one of the most significant impacts among players who switch teams in the offseason. He has been, for a team that has been, you know, dragged down by many poor results, storylines, whatever, like when you watch their games, Kiefer Sherwood has been super noticeable and able to play with their best players and make it look like
he has 13 goals, right? Like,
but it's not just that. That's the thing. Like, you started by talking about the hits. I just say he has been bringing it and it's noticeable. And if we're going to go back to Will and battles and all the rest of it, look at Kiefer Sherwood and how he plays tonight. And I think that's what you're going to want out of more players.
Well, and it comes down to the will and the winning the battles. And you say that, look, he has 13 goals. I get that, again, maybe fixating more on the numbers. And like, if Kiefer Sherwood had 7 goals, I'd still say, hey, Kiefer Sherwood's having a good season. But he has more goals than Ryan McLeod, than Dylan Cousins, than J.J. Paterka, than Jack Quinn, than Benson, Kulik, whatever. Like, he has 13 goals. That's more goals than all of these players. Mm-hmm. It's about will. It's about battle. It's about, you know, just putting the pedal down, and doesn't matter if you're in a snowstorm, you're going to just crash and burn if you, you know, if you're Kiefer Sherwood.
All right. Don't put the pedal down wherever you are today. Public safety announcement. Please drive cautiously and respect all county warnings as far as where and when you should be driving and what you shouldn't be doing at this point in time.
Because you may be in the North Town right now saying it's snowing a lot. It's not in the South Towns. In 2 hours, it may be different. Yesterday, when we came out of the building after the game, it was a whiteout. But if you went like north of the 90, it was fine. Like, it just, it's really, really significant. You don't know what the weather is 20 minutes away from you.
Exactly, which is why err on the side of caution and stay close to home if at all possible. Anything else Vancouver-wise, or would you quickly like to go rapid-fire NHL-wise at this point?
Well, quickly, Vancouver, because the Tyler Myers suspension, and that wraps up with Connor McDavid's suspension. I know there's a lot of ink and tears that are being shed right now in Edmonton. Oh, Connor McDavid, you know, we don't protect our stars. Okay, should the referees have made a call on Connor Garland and McDavid for that matter? Because McDavid punched him in the back of the head twice and whatever. Yeah, should have been 2 minutes each. Roughing, get out. But that doesn't mean that you can engage like Connor McDavid and go after Connor Garland. When Connor Garland had disengaged at that moment, he's like, I'm going to, and then boom, he gets cross-checked in the face. Why this is 3 and Austin Matthews with Dahlin was only 2? Well, because Dahlin and Matthews were engaged in that physical, like, Dahlin wanted to go back at him. And I think Connor Garland at that moment had disengaged. It was like, we're done, right? So that's why McDavid got 3 and Matthews got 2. That's why Timo Meier only got 1 earlier this year, because he was engaged with Zachary Leroux in the battle. So stop crying. Just don't cross-check anybody in the face. That's the simple solution.
So the Sabres win on all accounts because of that game, because they don't see Tyler Myers tonight. They don't see Connor McDavid at the end of the trip.
Yeah, you're right.
What can Calgary do to soften their roster between now and then?
What can Kadri do or Huberdeau do? They probably get suspended for just being themselves.
Yeah. Well, again, for many reasons, there's a lot of intrigue in the Sabres-Vancouver game tonight and where both of them get to from here.
Is this JT Miller's last game with the Vancouver Canucks? Will he play? Like, who knows? If there's a deal in place today, they thought they were going to keep him out against the Oilers on Saturday.
Right.
The deal with the Rangers apparently didn't happen. So now, is he playing tonight? Will he be kept off? I don't know. Like, we don't know that.
No, we don't. We'll take a quick break, come back with some more NHL news and notes, if you will. Stay with us. It's Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We're back. Sabres Canucks, part of an 8-game slate tonight that includes Tampa and Montreal. You've been seeing the Habs an awful lot. How are they? I mean, we clearly have not talked about Lane Hutson enough.
Because I do some radio hits in Montreal, I just got a question somebody sent me. Is Lane Hutson the Montreal Canadiens MVP? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, who else are you going to pick? Like, Cole Caulfield's got a great season. And
Suzuki's been pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, overtime hero, all the rest of it, yeah.
But it almost feels like the Canadiens' resurgence was started in early November, mid-November, after Lane Hutson had a full month under his belt, and it was like, okay, let me take over the games now. Mm-hmm. Like, his play on the Patrick Laine overtime goal the other night against the Rangers was incredible, and Laine, all he had to do is put it in. Now, it's easier said than done. Jack Eichel missed on that same kind of look yesterday. So
much closer.
Much closer. But it's Lane Hutson has been unbelievable. I'm telling you right now, if I had to vote for the rookie of the year, it would be Lane Hutson ahead of Celebrini and Mitkoff and Dustin Wolf.
Well, Wolf is going to stay in the mix as long as Calgary maintains that wild card spot. And he should. And
Celebrini is going to be in the mix because his impact in San Jose has been great.
He's been very good. The impact has not been felt, unfortunately. The wins, losses are just not, they're not
transferred. Without him, what would they be even
worse? They'd still be where they are. That's the sad fact.
They'd lose 6-1 instead of 6-3.
Right. Ottawa and the Rangers. Ottawa has been incredibly good since having it handed to them by the Sabres. Detroit and Philly, somebody has to win. And obviously, it works itself all the way up to the late games, which includes Buffalo at Vancouver.
So Ottawa's going back to Levi Marilainen tonight against Igor Shesterkin after Forsberg had a great game against New Jersey. Alex Lyon, Sam Ersson, Sam Montembeau, Vasilevskiy, Kochetkov's probably going back against Ottinger. There's a lot of goalie stories in these games tonight.
And the goalie for Buffalo will be your hunch?
My hunch is Reimer.
That was the least emphatic, convincing hunch of all time. We'll see you at 9:30 tonight.